Our text this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'm going to read two verses from the book of Isaiah. So, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then in Isaiah, we have two verses, and chapter 4, verses 2 to 4 says, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Let's spend a moment in prayer before we come to reflect upon the Lord's word. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to be challenged this morning. We want to be blessed. We want to be ministered. Father, we confess we are sinners. We are not perfect, Lord. But in your mercy, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be among us this morning and help us to be open to what you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Many of us love a fireplace. I don't know you, but if you come from a country, the city I used to live, it was quite hot. And in a winter time here, I need a fireplace. And also, maybe there is a therapy in the flickering light and the crackle of fire, the smell of burning wood and the heat. In the summer, the smell of the barbecue. You walk around and that fire produces something beautiful. Now, God has his fireplaces. He has the burning bush. God has the brazen altar of the tabernacle. Another burning place is the Mount Carmel. But this morning, we are going to be reflecting upon something that happened there in Jerusalem. Pentecost people. And there are just a few God's fireplaces there. The burning bush and the brazen altar of the tabernacle. There are many examples in the Bible. And today, the only fireplace that our Lord has is our hearts. That is the fireplace that the Lord has. In Hebrews declares, our God is a consuming fire. That is what the Bible says. He is all that fire is, and he does all that fire does. And there are many pictures in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. The wind, the oil, a dove, fire. The Holy Spirit is a holy fire. And now, this is the fire that came on Pentecost. And these disciples that were there, they were changed. Something happened there. Something transformed these people. And today, I want to reflect about the Holy Spirit as a fire. The Holy Spirit as a fire. 50 days after the first Sunday following Passover, the Feast of Pentecost was celebrated according to Leviticus chapter 23. God sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and the Apostle Luke take us to the upper room and explain what happened there. And he says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire. Now, We need to be careful about these verses, but something some people use wear a cross as a signal of Christianity, a fish. But I will agree with those who say that fire is the best symbol of Christianity. Because the church started there, and it was fire what led that church. Fire is, meaning God is in us. These disciples were transformed. But something we need to be careful here is that this is not literal fire. The text is very clear. They said, what seems to be tongues of fire. The King James Version says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It was not literally fire. Some have tried to link this verse to another verse in Matthew. I want just to explain very quickly this, because some people say, well, this is what Matthew 3 verse 11 says, when John the Baptist says about Jesus, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need to be careful. This is not, the context here is different. Here is about judgment. Here is the fire view in judgment. Verse 12 of Matthew 3 says, whose fang is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So here is a different kind of fire, judgment fire. But today, we reflect about fire. The tongues rested on each one of them shows that all who were present received what? The Holy Spirit. All of them. It doesn't say, well, Peter received first, John received second. No, say all of them received the Holy Spirit. It was a uniform, sovereign work of God on all collectively, not something sought individually. They were all together. And the Holy Spirit came. They were all made into one spiritual body, the church. And the first thing fire does is reveals and consumes. So the Holy Spirit is everything about fire and does everything fire does. And what is the first thing fire does? Is reveals and consumes. The first thing the Bible says fire will do is that he will reveal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 says, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. When the Holy Spirit comes, the fire of the Holy Spirit comes, will reveal something in us. When we allow the Holy Spirit comes, first thing, reveals. And that's what we come to do in church. When we have communion, sometimes I use the word from the psalmist, Psalm 139, the last verses of this psalm. The psalmist says, I want the power of God. I want to get closer to God. The Psalm 139, tonight we're going to be reflecting upon this psalm. It's about being close to God. And he said, search me. Shall we read it together? Search me, God. The psalmist acknowledged he needs something. He needs the God to reveal if something is wrong. When we allow the Holy Spirit being our lives, the first thing he does is to reveal what needs to be changed. What is it? I need to adjust. But the second thing, you know, say, if I want, you know, I want power, I need the Holy Spirit. What is the first thing the Holy Spirit does? Is to reveal, hey, you need to change on this. Maybe you don't like it, you hear the word of God and you said, oh, I don't like that. Revealing. But the second thing he does is consumes what is not necessary. That's what fire does. Fire consumes what is not necessary. The fire of the Holy Spirit melts our hearts of stone and makes us available for us to hear his message. The Holy Spirit comes, the fire consumes what is not necessary. In Acts 19, verse 19 says that the bonfire in Ephesus consumed the bad books. The fire of God consumed what is not ready for him. He doesn't want any rubbish around our lives. The fire of God consumed Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire of God. I'm going to delete these cities from my presence because they were evil. Fire. And Moses in Deuteronomy, he says about God, he's a devouring fire. Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 3 says, but be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a what? Devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out of the, and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. God, with his fire, reveals and consumes what is rubbish in our life if we allow him to do it. The first thing fire does, what is it that he does? Reveals and consumes. But the second thing he does is something we sang this morning. He purifies. The fire of the Holy Spirit brings to light the dross, the filthiness, the rubbish of our souls and cleanses to repent of the sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit burns away those little things, those little foxes that are there to destroy the vines. This Holy Spirit comes to help us to be more Christ-centered and not be selfish. That is what the Holy Spirit does if we allow his fire to purify our lives. I want to give you an example. We sang this, I love that holy, holy, holy song. And I selected this morning because I want just to share with you. You remember Isaiah 6, the experience of Isaiah? So here is Isaiah. Goes to the temple and give us this description of what? Fire. Isaiah entered into the temple and he says, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 6 verses 4 to 7. And he said, at the sound of their voices, the doorstops and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Fire, the presence of God was there. And he said, woe to me, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. Wait a minute, this is the prophet. But he is aware that in the presence of God, everything is revealed. And he realized that he needs to be clean. And then something happened. He said, then one of the seraphims flew to me and with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with thongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, can you imagine? That is fire. Fire, he touched, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and you see it's atoned for. When we come into the presence of God and we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal, to consume, he purifies us. And the presence, you know, sometimes we need to allow the Holy Spirit to burn what is dirty in my heart. Maybe you are okay. You show people that you are so good, but you know in your heart that something needs to be changed. I know in my heart I need to change many things. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. And he purifies. But you know what? The next thing is what I love to happen in the church of God. Fire softens and unites. Shall we say it together? Fire. Look what happened in the first church. All of them were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. This verse here says that we are to be filled and refilled and refilled again and filled again. If we want things to happen in the church, that is what we need to be ready. Oh, I come to church, I was baptized, I was confirmed, I belong to the... No, that's something we do. We need to be what? Fuel and refuel. Let me give you an example. It's not there, maybe yes. For example, these people were filled in Pentecost, Peter. But in Acts chapter 4 verse 8, we see Peter being filled again. And another example is that Many people were hearing in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they are being filled again. And Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit in 9. Let me just take you. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's take an example. Just Paul. We have Peter. He was filled and then was filled again. And then we have Philip. But let's read about Paul very briefly, if you have your Bibles. And let's see what happened to Peter as he is filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And then this is the encounter with Ananias, and then we read, he says, "Has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts, goes, join the church. If you are careful and go from verse 9 and you go to verse 13, to chapter 13, some people say it's about 13 years, 16 years. So Paul has been in the church and has been worshiping. And in chapter 13, Paul is filled again with the Holy Spirit. But something happened here. And this is, if you ask me, what is it that something I like of the New Testament, is this chapter 13. Because here, if you start in the chapter, in the church of Antioch, we have five different people. We have Barnabas, Simeon called the Niger. This is a person from Africa. We have Lucius of Cyrene. We have Paul. We have all these different people, but they have been filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And because they have been filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe Paul is saying, no, we need to do things as we Jews do that. No. And then the African comes and says, no, we need to do it our way. Then the other one, the Roman citizen, says, no, we need to do it. No, no. The Holy Spirit comes, and what he does? Softens and unites. Guess what? Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit again. He does something wonderful, and he's appointed to go in mission. When the church doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, the church never will be united. And we will be useless. In the Bible, there is one command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the fire of the Holy Spirit softens and unites. The Holy Spirit softens my heart and your heart, the heart of the sinner. He makes people responsive. He prepares them to be remolded, remade, regenerated. Our unity in church depends on the Holy Spirit. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do that, we'll be people saying, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I feel that we need to be doing. I don't want to do it. And then will be division. I wonder, how is it that I'm going to be in a church when we are all divided? We need to be in one accord. If we are going to do what God wants us to do, we need to be like this. But if somebody goes like that, the other one like that, the other one like that, we are doing nothing. When this happened, help me with the PowerPoint. When this happened, fire of the Holy Spirit empowered. That is what happened. Fire empowers. And we are powerless because we are flameless. We fail to get too much steam to make our activities. You know why? Because we insisted on our programs. We try to do this. We try to do that. But we are powerless. Why? Because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal what we need to change. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is what the verse we read. Let's read together verse 8 of this act. But you receive. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and he will help us to be his witness in Bangor, in Carnarvon, in Anglesey, in London, everywhere. We receive power when we allow the Holy Spirit with his fire fill us. The grammatical construction, says one commentator of this passage, indicates believers are to be continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. We must continue to pray for more fire on our altar. The more he fills us, the more he breaks us. The more he fills us, the more he sets fire upon us. The more he fills us, we are passionate about the gospel. And I like this children's song. Let me tell you something. I remember some people invited me, you know, in London to preach in some churches, and I said, "Can I bring a children's song?" What people love more is the children's song. But the message was there. When the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't matter what we do. If we look funny, we don't know. That is what God wants us to do. An altar without fire is the temple without God. The fireless altar signifies a ruined temple. A fireless church signifies a ruined church. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, he will give us what we need to share the good news of salvation. In this case, was tongues. They need languages. Here, there is no doubt, I believe, I go along the commentator who said, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The text is not ambiguous. The tongues spoken on the day of Pentecost were non-tongues. The term glossa is the word for languages. And the context of interpretation is that these people, they were there, and there were people speaking different languages. Maybe they're speaking Latin, they were speaking, you know, some African dialect, they were speaking Greek. And these people, they didn't have to read books to learn the language. They don't have to have seminars. They don't have to go to evening classes. They have to go to learn Welsh here. But, you know, but they just learned. I hope that I can do that and speak Welsh without going to college. But the Holy Spirit will give you what you need in a particular situation. You are on the train. You are traveling in London and the underground, traveling in the train, particularly in everything full, and suddenly you sense that you see a person quite low. The Holy Spirit says, "Smile." You smile, and you say, you have a conversation, and say, "God love you." Maybe that person was about to commit suicide. That happened to me once. It doesn't have to be like the click, the whistle. It has to be extraordinary. It could be a phone call from an old lady in a home that she's lonely and nobody cares. I heard a testimony in the previous church that in the moment that she was lost, somebody phoned her. The Holy Spirit. Power. Power. And then I believe this is going to happen. You know, people in churches, we read about Mark chapter 16. "And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." I believe that that's going to happen. You know, but what I don't believe is somebody in a church or somebody say, "There is a snake there. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to be close because the Holy Spirit is with me." That's fool. That's being fool. I will not go there. So don't bring a snake here. I will not do that. That's not what the text is saying. You see the point? We don't have those things happening. You know why? Because we don't put ourselves in a place for these kind of things to happen. We talk about it. We preach about it. We think about it. But we don't really have it. If we did, we will see more signs. God wants to do things through us. My friend, as I conclude this morning, the consuming, purifying, softening, uniting, and empowering of the Holy Spirit fire can be ours. Do you believe that? It can be ours. It doesn't have to be something extraordinary. We are not going to say, "We have this service, come the whole." No, it will happen even right now. Maybe it's happening right now. Somebody being healed during this service. Some people have come and said, "Freddie, I received healing." Be quiet. We don't have to make propaganda here. Because the Holy Spirit is power. Do you believe that? It's power. He can restore my life. He can restore your life. You are into alcohol. You are into addiction. You are into... God can set you free. Your marriage is about to collapse. God can restore your marriage. Dale Moody, speaking to a large audience, he helps a glass, an empty glass like this gone. And he says, he asks, how can I get the air out of this glass? You know, we have air. Believe it or not, there is air there. And one man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, that will create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, pick up a pitcher of water, or pick up the, you know, and a glass, you know, a jar of water, and fill it. There he said, all the air is now removed. Oh, it's a little bit more. That's it. And then he went on to explain that the victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here or a sin there. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to visit people in hospital and that will be okay. I'm going to do charity. I'm going to sign to a charity shop and do that. I'm going to do this. No, that doesn't work like that. But by being filled with the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill every single part of our lives. My friends, we need refilled, filling, overflowing, and immersed in the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that we must be saved. We must repent. Remember the prophet Isaiah? He's a prophet. He's supposed to be good. If you preach, I'm supposed to be good. If you play an instrument for the church, but we need to repent every day because we are sinners. When we do that, when we come to the Lord, we have an experience with Him. And the second thing, we need to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit within us to do the work of the kingdom. This is what my Lord says. You remember Jonah? He was walking away. That's when I'm going to be talking next Sunday, talking about next Sunday. He allowed God in his spirit to speak. I'm going to do it, Lord. Remember David. We remember Isaiah. But we allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse. And then the third thing, we must be hungry for the bread of life, thirsty for the word of God. You know, we just want to learn more. Don't just come on Sundays and study yourself. You come tomorrow, come to my office or tell me, you know, Freddie, what you say, that's not in the Bible. Fair enough. So you need to check. You know, God is going to tell us what to do. Maybe in a dream. Okay, that's okay. I don't dismiss it. But where is everything? Here. So we study and God said, oh, I have to change it. I am called to do this. So the third thing is that we must be hungry for the bread of, let me tell you, it's powerful. I went to Ecuador and in Ecuador, I shared that with a couple of people in Ecuador. Have you heard about novelas? Yeah, okay. It's like a soap, like EastEnders and all that. Novelas is so popular in Ecuador and you grow up that you go back home after work and 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, all the family is watching novelas. I didn't like them, you know, but I was visiting with Cecilia, one of their cousins, and they were watching novela. And I said, what's going on with these people? And then I asked, what is that all about? You know what happened in Brazil? They have make a huge production on the life of Moses. And they had put on the life of Moses, as the Bible says, even including numbers. Which is not politically correct. Including numbers. When God does all this, they have been glued to the TV. Even unbelievers. And now the second part is, who is the next one? Joshua. And one day I was with a driver, and he, you know, went to church, said, "Oh, have you watched the novela?" I said, "What part?" "Oh, you know, Joshua was doing this and that." I said, "This is a guy who doesn't go to church." Yes, God can do that. He was talking about Jericho. You see my point? We don't have to be worried when we explain the word of God as it is. It speaks. And our duty, oh my, I don't know how many people are going to be converted in Latin America because of these two big, they were asking everything. They were asking me about, you know what Samuel says, and these people asking, you know, I was in trouble. Sometimes they gave me some names. They said, "I don't know about that. I'm going to check it." They were Christians behind that production. But finally, we must surrender our will to Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to come. Are we ready to do it? Don't worry. It doesn't matter who is looking on. It doesn't matter what the people are going to say. It's then that something is going to happen in Bangor. Something is going to happen in London, in the UK. When the word of God comes and fills this land again with the blessings of the Almighty. I conclude again with Moody, one of my favorites, perhaps because he didn't speak English very well. That's what I say. Moody said, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are empty of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to the God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceiving ambitions, and the world there is no room for the Holy Spirit, we must empty ourselves. We must empty ourselves so we can be filled of the Holy Spirit." May the Lord bless you, Penrell Baptist Church. May the Lord bless you wherever you are, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have fire. Not just the fire of love, but the fire of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to everyone. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to be changed. We want to do your will. But Isaiah, Father, I come to you and we come to you and say, "Father, we are sinners. Father, help us to allow your fire to come and rebuild and to consume and to renew and to clear all the rubbish. Help us to your fire to soften our hearts so we can be one for your glory. So we can have power to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.